Well, it's great to be back. Like I said, I love the Philippines. Anyone ever been to the Philippines before? Anyone like Filipino food? Oh yeah, there we go. The lumpia, the chicken adobo, the pancit. That's an amen for sure right there, right? We had an amazing time witnessing God's faithfulness. We actually had a guy from the Reliance Church in Temecula. He signed up for the Philippines, the mission trip, and he got there. He said, I actually didn't know where Philippines is on the map. So I'm going to pull up some maps for us, because when I'm talking about Philippines, I want to give you guys a little bit of a context to where we were at. So there's China, right? North and South Korea. The Philippines, beautiful islands over here. So we took a 14-hour flight from LAX. We landed in Manila in the Philippines. And then we had a short 2-hour layover and then another hopper flight to this island called Palawan right over here. And we flew into Puerto Princesa City. And then from there, we did a 6-hour drive to Rizal, where we hosted pastors and leaders conferences. We visited schools that we want to get involved with. We visited missionaries and pastors who are in the ministry, doing the work of the ministry with no formal training, with no support. And we got to have 3 days where we hosted this conference called Fortify, where pastors, leaders, their wives, their kids get to come and receive Bible teaching instruction, but also on the other practical side, some basic first aid skills. So the Philippines is not technically a third world country anymore. It's a developing country, but there are pockets specifically within the Philippines that kind of operate in a third world mindset. Where we were at in Manila, it's almost like LA. They have the Mall of Asia there. It's incredible. But as soon as you fly over to Palawan, and as soon as you get there, you see a shift. It's jungly, it's humid everywhere, but it's even more humid there because of all the vegetation. But it's third world, if you can picture that. It's a place where the roads and the lines on the roads are suggestions. You can drive anywhere on the sidewalk, fair game. You just have to dodge the tricycles and the horses and things like that, and you'll make it. But it's a place where there's no formal hospital. So if you're sick, you go to the pastor. And the pastor, if the Lord heals in the prayer, yes and amen. But if not, the pastor has to know how to do basic first aid. Part of the burden of fundraising was to collect funds to package gauze, ointment, antibiotics, band-aids, the most basic stuff, because pastors are saying we have kids dying in our arms because lack of wound care, infection. It just broke our hearts. When the pastors checked in and their wives checked into the conference, the first thing we did was take their blood pressure to make sure that they were healthy and to make sure that they knew how to take their own blood pressure. So if anything were to happen, they can start the 4-hour motorbike road to their hospital for some help. But this is the thing that is over there. They have, in our standards, nothing. But they have Christ. And he is everything. It was so refreshing to see simple faith and simple joy there. I was convicted. But I was also so thankful that the Lord had me here in a place where his mercy, his grace is so abundant that I just, man, can get so callous to the miracle of modern medicine. But I was so refreshed to be with the saints in the Philippines, to encourage them, to help out, and to be a part of what God is doing in their lives. A lot of these guys are just farmers who are called into the ministry. They get to know the Lord. The Lord reveals himself in a dream or a Bible teaching on the radio. They get saved and they drop everything. And then they go off into the jungles of Palawan to reach people for Christ. More pictures here. We have on the next slide here, the team that we got to take from our group, Kathy, she head up the children's ministry. There's Jacob, Ben, and Zeke. You might remember Zeke. He used to live over here. He's currently working full-time as an EMT in Idaho, but he met us there in the Philippines. And this is part of our extended team from Reliance Church and New Hope Temecula. There was about 41 of us from the States to join another group of locals there who were doing the work of the ministry. These are dear saints in the Lord. A lot of these guys right here was their first missions trip, and what a missions trip to go overseas for the very first time and serve the Lord. If you see them in the hallways, you can be proud of them. The Lord really did excellent work through them. Yeah, yes and amen. If you're ever leading a missions trip and Kathy's on your team, you're in good hands. She was our team mom. She made sure everybody was washing their hands and being fed and everything. She was just amazing. I mean, we know and love Kathy. Next slide here. This was the meeting place of our pastors and leaders conference. And so it was this outdoor covered venue. And you know, it happens here often in the sanctuary when a place becomes holy ground and you just feel the Spirit. Not that he ever leaves us nor forsakes us, but there's a special just presence of God. Have you witnessed that here? And it was like that in that place. When you walked in there and heard the worship and felt the hearts of the people, you got excited for heaven because it felt like that. I'm getting emotional because God met these pastors here in such a profound way that I hope he meets us when we gather together. It was like the book of Acts in my face, and it was so refreshing. So for example, before this all started, we had a team prayer and worship time where we all just wanted to gather together, kind of adjust to the time, get to know the other teammates, and just spend some time in prayer for the people that would be coming the next day. Well, the fans are blowing, the lights are on, and we're singing worship, and I help to lead, and we get to the last song, and then all of a sudden, the power goes out. But we continue to worship. The songs that we were singing was Sea of Victory by Elevation Worship. You guys know that one? The bridge is, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. And I just had the sense that this was a spiritual attack. I mean, the whole day, the power's working, the AC's working, the fans are blowing, the misters are going, and then all of a sudden, in our last song of worship, the day before the conference starts, the power just goes out. So we just continue singing, we continue praying, and the power is still out, the song ends, and I just feel led to pray. Lord, we have a conference tomorrow. You're still worthy, even if you don't turn on the lights, but it would be nice. It's very humid in the Philippines, Lord. I'm not used to it. I'm sweating bullets. And I'm just praying that the Lord would refresh us and use us. And Lord, would you just turn on the lights? In Jesus' name, amen. Lights on. Lights on. Someone looked at me and said, you guys planned that, right? I said, that was the Lord. But small things like that would happen throughout the conference. They would be underneath our covering for the session, and it would be downpouring rain. It would just rain, heavy rain. And then for the session ending, going into a time of refreshments, kind of where I'm standing right over here, if you can imagine, is a little coffee stand. It's not coffee as we would think about it. It's like the instant coffee, hot water, you stir it up. And that is such a treat. And but it's not covered. And so we would pray, Lord, can you just stop the rain for 15 minutes? Rain stopped. I'm telling you, I'm just like, what is happening, right? The pastors would get their biscuits. They would get their coffee. They would get their water. They would go back inside. Session would start. Rain. And then again and again, Lord, we're about to end. These guys have to go back home. They don't have cars there. They have motorbikes, right? But Lord, could you just stop the rain? It would be really nice if they didn't have to travel down the road in the rain. Rain stopped. I was convinced that Jesus actually loves the Philippines more than the States. Just, we would pray and things would happen. I'm just like, what is going on? It was such an incredible, incredible time. The next slide here. This was Kathy's little hut for the children's ministry. And she just did a fantastic job. Their favorite thing, I want to start fundraising, is for bubbles. It's so simple, right? But bubbles. Kathy was a local celebrity. When Kathy would come down from her room, the kids would be cheering, Kathy, Kathy, Kathy. And you know Kathy, she's already a princess. And she would come out like a princess with her bubbles. And like, it was just an amazing, just Kathy is awesome. Next slide here. Part of the fundraising that we did on the Sundays after second service was the Filipino plates. And if you're a part of making the food, thank you so much. I know a lot of you guys just donated your time and your resources. On top of the medical supplies that we were able to purchase, we were also able to purchase these Bible solar players. And these Bible solar players were compact and small, but they contained four or five different dialects of the specific tribes that we would potentially meet where we're at in the Philippines. There's so many languages, so many dialects, not even close to Tagalog, which is kind of the national Philippine language. And so we just kind of brought something over there. And I was praying, Lord, who do these go to? Do they go to a specific church? Do they go to a specific organization? Lord, who do these go to? Well, when we were at this Christian school, this is like in the jungles. When I tell you I was afraid for my life crossing a river in the back of a truck bed, that was me. But we were just going over rivers, and I came to find out on our way back that there was crocodiles in there. I'm like, good thing I didn't see any, okay? So the back of a truck bed, crossing these rivers to go to this school. And this school is a Christian school specifically ministering to kids from the tribes. And these kids, ages middle school to high school, is kind of the context that they're serving. They walk an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, down from the mountains to go get a Christian education and to learn the basics of grammar and English to help them live life. Well, these two girls were pointed out from the high school, the middle school, high school principal, Miss Anna, and she said, "You see those two girls? They're from the tribes." And I said, "Oh, they're so cute. They look like they're 12." Well, the one to the right, she was 25 years old, and the one next to her was her 12-year-old daughter. You do the math. 25 years old, 12-year-old daughter. And it's not uncommon. That's just what the tribes know. Not that this woman was attacked or any, you know, taken advantage of. It's just the way of the tribes. And she goes, she's 25, she's 12. They both have a first grade education and they're learning to read. And I said, I have these solar players. Can you look at them? Are any of the languages right for them?" And she received them. And she started looking at them, and she began to just tear up a little bit. Because the first little dialect on the Bible solar player was Palawano, which was a specific niche little dialect that this specific tribe spoke. And she goes, "She's never heard the word of God in her native tongue. But now she gets to hear God's word." Right? It's hard to imagine in Southern California that still exists, but those are the pastors and leaders that we were ministering to. And it was just so refreshing to be there. Another gospel redemption moment, next slide, is I got to go on the mission trip with my dad. I'm the one on the right, by the way, okay? This was a cool gospel redemption moment. My dad and I have never been on a missions trip together. But this was our first time together, and we actually got to share a session on the dynamic of family and ministry, specifically pastors and pastors' kids. And if you know anything of my story, you know that I was really used by the enemy to bring discouragement and division to my family because I didn't like my dad in the ministry. I felt neglected by the ministry. I saw one person on the pulpit and one little mistake at home, I would totally be, he's a hypocrite. And so we had a falling out of our relationship when I was 17 years old. And I, in that summer before Bible college, I was, you know, going to couch in my friends' garages and kind of bumming my way through life until he felt led to approach me and ask if I wanted to go to Bible college. And the only reason why I said yes to going to Bible college was because the alternative was to live with him and then commute to Palomar on a half scholarship for volleyball. And I said, in my mind, I will take your money. I will go to the Bible college where I don't have to live with you, where you're going to pay for my food and you're going to pay for my rooming. And at the end of the 4 months, I'm going to figure out something else to do with my life. He agreed because he didn't know the motives of my heart. He just trusted that God would do something in my life. And it was that fall semester of 2008 that I fell in love with the Lord through the teaching of God's word, through the fellowship of like-minded believers, through the reality of the gospel finally settling from my head to my heart. I rededicated my life to the Lord. My dad and I were able to patch things up. We've been able to serve the Lord in various ministries, but this was the first time that we actually got to teach a session together and be in the Philippines together. And when I say God is a miracle working God, I witnessed that through that time. It was so cool to meet up with other believers from Southern California and Temecula and the local team in the Philippines. And this is why I want to share, I think, why the Lord put this little Bible study in my heart, because I saw the church in action. And when I say that, I saw the spiritual gifts in action. And it was such a refreshing reminder that the Holy Spirit is willing and wanting to use us, the church, today. One of the things that I'm really reminded of, especially in this season in the young adults, as we're studying through the book of Acts, is that it has no real formal ending. The implication meaning that God, through the Spirit, wants to empower the church to take the power and beauty of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And he's looking for ordinary men and women like you who say, Lord, I trust you. I want to serve you. Use me. And God is wanting to show up and to show off. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that in this specific cultural moment that God wants to reach neighbors, your coworkers, your family, and he wants to use you? Part of the way he will do that is actually through how he's gifted you with the spiritual gifts. And so in tonight's Bible study, I want to share really the purpose of spiritual gifts, and this will be kind of a flyby, hopefully to inspire you to get into the scriptures, see what the spiritual gifts look like, and then ask the Lord in our time of application, what gifts have you given me, Lord? How can you develop these things in me? And then how can I deploy them for your glory? So can I share in just another short word of prayer before we begin? Lord, fix our ears to hear your still small voice. It's still and it's small, but we want to hear you. Would you move our hearts and burden our hearts for the things that you're moved by, the things that you're burdened by, that we may be transformed and used by Christ? For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please turn with your Bibles, in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first thing that we want to see about spiritual gifts and the purpose of them, number one, is to glorify God. The purpose of the spiritual gifts, number one, is to glorify God. You can write that down. We exist to glorify God. When we as a church gather together, we are many members, but one body, and Christ is the head. What I loved about going to the Philippines was there were select parts of our body meeting up with other parts of another body, meeting up with other parts of the body in the Philippines, and we were still just one body, and Christ was the head. And Christ glorifies God. When we are active members in the body of Christ, we get to glorify God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 14, quickly we'll read, for as the body, this is Paul writing to a church that is in some sin, They were abusing the spiritual gifts. There were some people with sin issues, sexual sin issues in the church. And Paul writes this letter to them. He's speaking specifically in this part of the scriptures about the proper use of the spiritual gifts. And he says in chapter 12, verse 12 to 14, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We all are different parts of the body, but still a part of one body where Christ is the head. When we work together, full of the Spirit and in unity, we glorify God." We exist to glorify God. Amen? We exist to make Jesus' name famous because it's at his name, it's his name and his name alone that brings salvation. When we as the church gather together, especially when we're using our spiritual gifts because we're filled with the Holy Spirit and have a love and a unity that is fostered by the Spirit of God, Christ gets to be magnified and people get to see Christ in us and through us. The first purpose of the spiritual gifts is that God would be glorified. And I'll say this again and again and again. God wants to be glorified through you and you and you and you. I wish I could look at you in the face and each one and say, God wants to glorify himself through you. Me? Well, if you're like me, you know the inward dialogue that I go through. Well, God, there's probably better people that you could use. Well, God, I've disqualified myself in this way, in that way, in this way. Well, God, the motive of my heart is not always pure. God, why don't you just use another guy? He's probably got it better than I do. And I can be so me that I forget it's all about him. And the fact that God chooses to use ordinary men and women so that he can be better glorified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, Paul addresses the inward dialogue that we might have, that the church probably had when they heard the Great Commission. And he says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen," underline that, "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen," underline that, "the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things," which means the low things of the world and the things which are despised, "God has chosen," underline that, "and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are." Here's the purpose, "that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." What a refreshing reminder that God wants to use you, the foolish, base, low things of the world, for his glory. God in his wisdom, God in his mercy, God in his grace is looking for ordinary men and women who will trust him and love him and serve him to expand his kingdom so that God receives all glory. I love that at the beginning of the birth of the early church, there was revival happening, and Peter and John, they are entering into the temple for their daily prayers, and they see this lame man. And the lame man looks up and wants to receive a handout. He's been lame for 40 years, every day just laid at the gate, looking for something. Peter and John, look at me. And expecting to receive something, Peter and John say, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, rise up and walk." And this man who was lame from birth for 40 years, he finally gets his chance to stand to dance, to jump, to skip. And he's praising the Lord in the temple courts. He's praising, he's glorifying God. And people are seeing this. They're all gathering together. So much tumult is happening that religious leaders come, the Sanhedrin comes, and they're questioning what's going on. And this Peter, filled with the Spirit, he gets to preach the second Christian message, and many get saved. And he and John are rebuked by the religious leaders, and they say, "You can't speak in Jesus' name anymore." And Peter, full of boldness by the Spirit, whether it's right to listen to you or from God, we're going to listen to God. We can't help but speak of the beautiful things that we have witnessed in Christ. These guys, Peter and John, regular men, were such a confusion to the religious leaders. The text actually includes in his commentary that when the religious leaders looked at Peter and John, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, Acts 4:13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus." That's the key. God has chosen the foolish things of the world, the base things, the low things for his glory. But the key is, Peter and John were with Jesus. Everything changes when ordinary men and women meet with Jesus. Everything changes when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything changes so much, in fact, that we can be the untrained, uneducated men. I love this. The untrained word in Greek is idiotes, is where we get the word idiot. Can you imagine the religious leaders? These idiots. But they've been with Jesus, and that's the key, my friends. God will call is calling each and every one of us, the low, the base things of the world, to confound the wise. But the key is, as we're with Jesus and we're filled with his Spirit, man, we're unified as a body, using the gifts, we get to be used to glorify God. God doesn't exist for our good pleasure. We exist for his. And I think it's just a timely reminder that your life is not your own. No matter what season of life you're at, young, old, retired, your life, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is not your own. So the theme prayer of your heart should be, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" The huge oxymoron of the Christian faith is, "No, Lord, that doesn't make sense." If Christ is Lord, he is master, authority over all things. And so everything should be, "Yes, Lord." I don't have many regrets. But when I look back at my life in a season of that prodigal, lost lifestyle, I regret not living my life for the Lord. I regret not taking his word seriously sooner. I regret having a hardened heart towards the Lord. But I've never regretted saying, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, I'm afraid. I'm untrained. I'm an uneducated person, but I'm willing." I've always regretted not living my life for the Lord, but I've never regretted, "Yes, Lord." And maybe this is just a word for us as our church moves into a new season of ministry where we're expanding to 3 services, hopefully to reach more of our community and give space for our community. With the expansion of our 3 services, maybe this is why the Lord put this word on my heart. There's going to be more opportunities to serve. There's going to be more opportunities to get involved with our community, to rub shoulders with our neighbors, and to shine the light of Christ. And maybe this is the word of encouragement for us who have been saying no, Lord, to finally say, "Lord, in this new season of ministry at Calvary Vista, I want to say yes to you and say yes to the opportunities that you have for me. And Lord, I'm going to get rid of the negative dialogue in my mind, and I'm just going to say yes to you, and I'm going to put myself out there, and I want to see you glorify yourself through me." Maybe this is one of the many reasons why God had put this upon my heart. You know, as a pastor in Southern California, a lot of church culture says, well, we hire people on staff to do the work of the ministry. But the Bible actually says we are all supposed to be a part of the work of the ministry. The pastors, the leaders, we're supposed to be helping you be equipped for the work of the ministry. And so Calvary Vista, I want you to pray about this. If you've been a consumer, now it's your time to be a contributor for the kingdom of God. Could you imagine what Vista would look like if every single person at Calvary Vista said, Lord, I know my giftings. I'm using my giftings. I think we would see an end to homelessness. I think we would see an end to alcoholism. I think, and hopefully we would see the bars close down, right? I think we would see a little bit of heaven here on earth. I just wonder that in this cultural moment when we're seeing a lot of young men and young people come back to church, that if this is the last revival before we're taken home, I want to be a part of it. And I just wonder what it would look like for us to say, yes, Lord, instead of the big oxymoron, no, Lord. We exist to glorify him. The first principle of the spiritual gifts is to glorify God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 to 26, 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 26, a few comments here. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I love the fact in verse 18, Paul teaches that God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So in God's pleasure, in his wisdom, and in his knowledge, God has set us to represent the body of Christ. And that should be a big wow. God, in his planning, in his knowledge, in his foresight, he says, I'm going to put you here and gift you with this. I'm going to put you here and you here so that when we all come together, Christ the head can be magnified and glorified. How exciting is that? That though we are many, we're actually one. And when one person lacks and suffers, we all lack and suffer. And on the contrary, when one person is honored, we are all honored. And I love that there's no difference of what I do here in the pulpit versus what someone does outside taking out the trash. There should be no schism or elevation of different gifts. We should not be envious. That's why you're saying, is everybody a mouth? Is everybody an eye? Is everybody a foot? No, we are all gifted individually, but for a specific purpose that when we all come together, Christ is glorified. We're all working together for the same goal of seeing Jesus be glorified. Some of the gifts that I want you to investigate on your own time, I love kind of the three parts of the gifts in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. This category of gifts can be broken up into three separate categories, and I'm just going to read them for you. I apologize for not having a slide for this. But there are love gifts. That's administration, guidance. This is the love gift of craftsmanship, of giving, of helps, hospitality, mercy, and service. There are word gifts, which is apostleship, evangelism, exhortation, which is encouragement, leadership. There's pastor and shepherding and teaching giftings. And there are power gifts. There's discernment. There's faith, healing, intercession, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of knowledge, and words of wisdom. Everybody in this room, if you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have at least one. In theological circles, as they talk about the gifts, they call it the gift mix. They ask you, what is your gift mix? And some person might have this gift or these gifting, and they're all different, but they all work together for God being glorified. If I were to ask you tonight, do you know your giftings? What would you say? I hope that we are a people to press into these things and be like Paul, where he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. We are all better people in Christ, or for Christ, I would say, when we know our King, when we know our identity, when we know how he's fashioned us, and we are deployed for his kingdom. We see the times that we're living in. I think that our time is short. And I want to be like Paul, who says, I want to redeem the time, for the days are evil. There's no more time, church, to be ignorant about your specific place on how God wants to specifically use you. Press into those things. Ask the Lord for wisdom. And then say, Lord, okay, open up doors and let me serve in those ways. And then show up, let God fill you, and let God show off his glory through you. There is such a beautiful joy in my soul when I get to use my spiritual gifts. And I think there's a joy that you might be missing out on when your gifts are neglected. And maybe this is the night where you have to be reminded to stir up the gift of God that is in you. And maybe this is kind of the, I've heard it said that pastors exist to comfort the afflicted, and afflict the comfortable, right? For the pew potatoes in here, which are not many, maybe this is your encouragement. Come on, get off your bum and start serving. It's time. So the first reason that spiritual gifts, the purpose of the spiritual gifts, is to glorify God. Number two, spiritual gifts are to build up the body of Christ, okay? To build up the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, Paul writes, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, get this, for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. So it's the Spirit of God giving gifts. But in verse 7, we're reminded it's not for one person, it's for all of us. When the spiritual gifts are in action, we are built up. The word for it is edified. We're encouraged in our souls. I'm not the only one who has been discouraged by the world, or even discouraged by the enemy, or even discouraged by my own flesh. But when the spiritual gifts are practiced, my soul is edified. When Vern practices his pastor teaching giftings, my soul is edified. When Al Berenda shares an encouraging word, his exhortation gifting is shared, I feel built up in my soul. When my sweet volleyball coach, Miss Manny, shares her gift of hospitality and generosity, my soul is built up. Have you guys ever witnessed that when someone uses their spiritual gifts, you are built up? Isn't that such a beautiful thing? Amen. The world does a good job of knocking us down. The flesh of the enemy do a great job of breaking us down. God has given the spiritual gifts, number one, for him to be glorified. But number two, that we would be built up and edified. I wonder what encouragement is waiting right around the corner when you say yes to your giftings and yes to the Lord. Lord, I'll be used by you today. Man, there's nothing like being encouraged in the Lord just to continue to trust him. Everything in my flesh and the world says God's not in control. My feelings are fleeting, but they say, is God really in the throne? But when I come around the people of God exercising the spiritual gifts of God, I'm reminded, I'm built up in my soul just to trust him, to take him and his word seriously. And I have renewed passion to preach the gospel and to make disciples and to continually take steps of faith of obedience. I need you and you need me. We all need each other. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, among the lines of us being built up, as each one has received a gift, what do we do with it? We minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So these giftings are to glorify God, and we're supposed to minister to one another. You need me, I need you. We all need the Lord. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we exist as the body to serve one another. That word minister is to slave for somebody. Minister that gift. Slave that gift to serve somebody. When is the last time we've done that intentionally? I love reading through the chronological Bible devotionally this year. And a couple weeks ago, it was in the Exodus. And I was refreshed that even in the Old Testament, there's a model of these spiritual gifts and how people were working together to build the tabernacle, a meeting place of God's presence. And it's a real cool picture of how we are all being built up to represent Christ as a meeting place for the presence of God. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, God is speaking to Moses. And he's calling specific people to do specific tasks in order for the tabernacle, a place, a meeting place where he would speak to Moses and Moses to the people. And this is what the word of God says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I indeed have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Asimach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you. Bezalel, Aholiab, the gifted artisans, they needed each other to fulfill the mission of God in creating the tabernacle. It wasn't just Aholiab, or it wasn't just Bezalel, or it wasn't just Moses, or it wasn't just one or two craftsmen. They all needed each other together. Could God have given one person all the gifts? Sure, he could have. But it's a sweet picture of him giving different gifts so that when everyone is filled with the Spirit, obedient to God, they can build a beautiful meeting place for the people in the presence of God to rest there. I love also in the NLT version, Exodus 38:21-25. Upon the completion of the tabernacle, Bezalel, the son of Uri, grandson of Hur of the tribe of Judah, made everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. He was assisted by Aholiab, son of Amismach, of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman expert at engraving, designing, and embroidering with blue, purple, and scarlet thread on the fine linen cloth. Notice this. The people brought special offerings of gold totaling 2,193 pounds as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. The gold was used throughout the tabernacle. The whole community of Israel gave 7,554 pounds of silver as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Again, we see here a cool picture in the Old Testament of the spiritual gifts in action. And it's not just one person, but it's a collection of people. In fact, God says it's the whole community. Bezalel, assisted by Aholiab, the people brought special offerings of gold, and the whole community of Israel gave, so everyone had a part to play in the building of the tabernacle. In the kingdom of God, I have a part to play. You have a part to play. And you, everyone has a part to play for the kingdom of God. And when one person lacks, we all lack. What an accountability wake-up call for all of us. That the selfishness of disobedience doesn't just affect my relationship with God. It has its tentacles of repercussions in other people's lives. But the same thing is also true, that when we are obedient, we also get to impact those around us, and they get to be edified and built up. I just wonder if this is a night where the afflicted are comforted, but the comfortable are afflicted to get going in the right direction for the kingdom of God. We need each other. We all have a part to play. If one person suffers, we all suffer. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. So let's talk about a quick application. How do we take what has been said and have the Lord minister it to our hearts? Well, as I talk about spiritual gifts, the first place to start is discovering. Lord, in prayer, you can ask, what are the giftings you've given me? Sometimes a way to tell your spiritual gifts is to bring alongside of you some of your trusted mentors and say, what giftings do you see in me? Sometimes it's hard to see yourself, right? And you can use the body of Christ. Can you affirm this in me? Or what do you see the Lord gifting me in? That could be a real cool way to discover your giftings. Another way you can discover your spiritual giftings is you can look at the repetition of the sovereignty of God. What places has he put you to serve? You can connect the dots, so to speak. One example is when I was in Bible college, I was asked to teach a small devotion. I've never taught a devotion. Cool, I'll teach a devotion. Then after that, hey, can you teach this middle school Bible study? Oh, and by the way, bring some pizzas. Okay, I've never done that before, but I'll do it. Okay, and then another opportunity. Will you teach at this youth camp? And I was thinking and I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are the giftings you have for me? And it was the connecting of the dots, the sovereignty of the Lord opening up doors for me to minister in the way he had fashioned me, which is the pastor, shepherding, teaching role. So take a look at your life. Lord, what doors have you opened to me on a consistent basis? That could be a good way to evaluate what spiritual gifts you have. But also ask yourself this, where do I feel the joy of the Lord when I serve? When someone serves in their spiritual gifting, it's beautiful. Because they're not striving, because they were fashioned by the Holy Spirit to do just that. Now, I don't know where worship falls specifically in the spiritual gifting. It's not mapped out here in the text. It might fall under craftsmanship. It might fall under the gift of exhortation or even prophecy as they, you know, sing the truth of the songs. But I'll tell you this, I feel the joy of the Lord when I get to sing. And not just on stage, though I love hearing you sing. But when I'm at home and I sing, I feel the joy of the Lord. Where do you feel the joy of the Lord in your life? That could be a good tell of how the Spirit has gifted you, and press into those things. So the first thing is to discover in prayer, maybe asking some trusted mentors what you see in your life and connecting the dots of the events that God has sovereignly placed in your path. And then asking yourself, where do I feel God's joy, his anointing? Where do I see an ease of me serving in the ministry? It's that is where I think the Lord might be calling you. And I'll say this, a warning, that whatever is not a spiritual gift is an opportunity for a spiritual discipline. Okay, whatever is not a spiritual gift is an opportunity for a spiritual discipline. So for example, I do not have the gift of mercy. That doesn't mean exclude me from trying to discipline myself to be merciful to the person in front of me. I can't be like to a hurting person, don't have that gift, call somebody else. That doesn't represent Christ's will. So where one person is gifted by the gift of mercy, which I would define the ability to supernaturally sit with broken people, to mourn with them, to comfort them, to be a resting place for them. Where one person is supernaturally gifted by the Spirit of God to do that, I have to discipline myself to be there. It just might be me in the way that I was brought up with all brothers. When someone cries, I just don't know what to do. But I see other people with the gift of mercy. They have the tissues ready. They have the warm hugs, the smile, and the ability just to sit with someone in their brokenness and not even just to say anything, but to emanate God's presence. So whatever's not a spiritual gifting is an opportunity for a spiritual discipline. When we discover our giftings, the next prayer should be, Lord, okay, help me develop these things and then to deploy these things. We can do this by asking and looking for opportunities to get involved in the areas of ministry that would use your specific giftings. I'll tell you this, there's a lot of opportunity to serve the Lord. And I think what the Lord wants to do at Calvary Vista in this moment is even beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. But I think that if we're going to be expanded by the Lord, We need to be able to do the small things well. So we need the body of Christ to fire on all cylinders, being filled with the Spirit, discovering, developing, and deploying our spiritual gifts. And this is such a sweet reminder that we need to be on mission for Christ. We need the daily, moment-by-moment filling of the Holy Spirit. It's silly to try to do the work of God without the empowerment of God through the Holy Spirit. And your giftings can only take you so long until you kind of burn out. So you need to have that communion with the Lord. And before we get into the doing mode, we need to be in the being as well. That we need to be with the Lord to receive and then do. If that's reversed, I think that's a recipe for burnout. And that's not God's heart. So be being filled by the Holy Spirit. What God wants to do and has done in the Philippines, let him do it here in the States. Amen? The miracles that we witnessed over there in the Philippines, let us witness them here. Amen? I'm going to call up the worship team and I'm going to pray. And I would just like to have us consider what the Lord was speaking tonight and say, Lord, if I am the pew potato, comfortable, and I need to get moving in the right direction, make me willing to be willing. Or if I am already being used in my spiritual giftings, I want you to pray, Lord, continually fill me that I can continue to serve. Or if you don't know your giftings, consider in prayer, Lord, what do you have for me in this specific season? And may it all flow from love of God and love for people. You can't escape that the gifting passage in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the love chapter is right in the middle of them. That if we do all these wonderful spiritual gifts but have not love, we're a clanging cymbal, a distraction, in other words. So let love be our motive, love for him, love for others. Let your hearts be ready and excited for God wants to do, for what he wants to do and how he wants to specifically work in you.